You're listening to Miscarriage Stories with Arden Cartrett.
Hi everyone, Arden here. Today's episode is a little bit different. Whenever I first shared with you all only maybe a month ago that we were rebranding this podcast from the Miscarriage Doula Podcast to Miscarriage Stories to better represent what we are doing here, I asked, or maybe I did like a call, I'm not sure the better way to say it, saying that I wanted to receive your stories. And if you weren't comfortable having a conversation over Zoom where I record it and then upload it here for everybody to listen to, that I would love for you to email me your story, to sit down and write it, and I will read it on air. That way your story can still be told in a way that you're most comfortable with. I did receive a couple of emails, and I'm honored that you are interested in sharing your story in whatever capacity you are sharing it with me. Also, I think it's worth saying that if you show up to this podcast to listen to other people's stories and you're not comfortable sharing, it's all just as brave and strong, because no matter which way you receive or give support, you're showing up here. And I know I speak for myself, and I speak for each person who has come on here and shared their story, that you just existing and being here and listening is incredible. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I did, because this podcast is hosted by Anchor, so that's where I upload these episodes, and they let me know what you all enjoyed this year, what episodes you listened to, or, you know, the things that maybe were played multiple times. And it was really great to see the topics that you enjoyed being covered. And I'm just so incredibly blown away at how many people have listened to this podcast. I'm both blown away and incredibly sad. And I think I did a post on Instagram once where I was kind of saying, I hope that I'm the account that you unfollow one day. And I hope that this is a podcast that you unfollow, that you unsubscribe from, that you no longer need. That is always my goal. And so the fact that you're here makes me incredibly sad, but I'm also incredibly touched and happy that you have found the support that is most helpful to you. So today I'm going to read a couple of the stories that I received by email. This is going to be the last episode of 2022. I will be taking a couple of weeks off for the end of the year. And to be honest, it's because I have published all the episodes I had recorded. If I had more for you, I would absolutely be putting them out. But instead, I will start recording for 2023. If you would like to join me on Zoom, that way I can listen to your story and record the conversation to upload here for a podcast episode, I have put a link in the show notes where you can go and view my calendar. If you have questions about availability, if you're in a time zone that doesn't match up with my availability that you see through that link, please send me an email. You can email me at themiscarriagedoula@gmail.com or at arden@themiscarriagedoula.co. The emails go to the same place. I give both out in case one is easier to remember for you. So let's get into the first story. Our first story comes from Krista. I am going to use first names only for reading emails, and I'm not going to edit it at all. So I'm going to read their story the way that it is written. So here is Krista's email with her story. I am 33. I have three kids, ages 16, 13, and 10. All normal pregnancies, the only issue I had with my first is when they induced me, I didn't fully dilate. Only got about halfway there after 24 hours, and they decided to do a C-section. So with my other two, I just opted for C-sections. This was all from 2004 to 2012. In 2017, I was having some pain in my leg behind my knee. I had a swollen vein back there, and when the doctor x-rayed it, he found a blood clot. They ended up surgically removing the vein and the clot, and as to what caused it, they'd only speculated that it could be from birth control, so at the time I had gotten off birth control, and we just used condoms or the pull-out method. Fast forward to last year, first week of November, I was a day late on my period, which was very unusual for me. I use a tracker app and I am always right on time or a day early. I figured I'd take a test. Positive right away. I was kind of in shock since it had been 9 years since I'd been pregnant and we had decided we were done having kids. Also, I was nervous. I'd been drinking a bit more than usual the previous month. We'd went to a couple Halloween parties and I'd had a handful of drinks through the week. And according to the tracker, I was supposed to be 5 to 6 weeks along, so I was completely anxious. We went to our first check-in at the doctor about 2.5 weeks later. So at the time, I was about 8 weeks. Went to the ultrasound room and they couldn't find anything on my stomach, so they had to do the scan vaginally. On the scan, there was just a gestational sac and a possible fetal pole. The lady kept asking if we were sure how far along we were and was a little rude, made it seem like I was lying. But she said I was only measuring 5.5 weeks on the scan. So in my head, I was thinking maybe my dates are off. We weren't worried at that point. Something in me, though, was really nervous, which I hadn't been in my other pregnancies about miscarriage. So we decided to wait to tell anybody besides our parents. The doctor scheduled me for another ultrasound 3 weeks later for another scan. Just hoping to nail down a more exact date on baby and get a heartbeat scan to make sure baby was doing fine. So at my 11-week mark, we go to the doctor. As soon as she tried the scan on my stomach again and said they'd have to do it vaginally again, I felt something was wrong. Sure enough, as soon as they got the screen up, it looked exactly the same as the last time. Classified it as a missed miscarriage. I went in 2 days later on December 10th for a DNC. Procedure itself wasn't bad, but 3 days later I started having labor pains and was passing large golf-sized blood clots, which the doctor said can be normal. I was a little miffed because they wouldn't give me any strong medicine, so I was pretty much doubled over in pain, basically screaming and crying on and off for about a day. We had wanted to try again for another baby after that, and when I was healed up, we did. But it seemed like nothing was happening, so we cooled it for a while and decided maybe it just wasn't meant to be and got back to our routines and that was that, or so we thought. 6 months after our December miscarriage, at the end of June this year, 2022, I just had a feeling I should take a pregnancy test, and it was positive. I was surprised, but a little less anxious than I'd been the previous time with the result. Or maybe a different anxious is the better word. Because this time around, although we were more reassured after a couple of scans and actually seeing a baby and hearing a strong heartbeat, I knew what could happen. So I was calling the doctor for everything. Not always going in, but I did have a couple of extra scans because of spotting. But everything was good. We got to the second trimester, and I was able to share my news with everybody this time because we thought we were safe making it to the second trimester. The doctor acted like he was very confident in this pregnancy, that everything was fine, so after that 14-week mark, and so was I. Excuse me, I want to reread that. The doctor acted like he was very confident in this pregnancy and that everything was fine. So after that 14-week mark, so was I. I was still nervous as all get out, but we had just gotten the results back from the genetic testing and it was all good. We didn't find out the sex because we wanted to wait until the baby was born and be surprised. The end of September, I was getting a little worried. With my other pregnancies, I was already feeling them move by that point, and I wasn't with this one. My husband is trying to reassure me that it's fine. The people in the mommy-to-be groups I'm a part of on Facebook are also reassuring, and several people on there are saying how they're going through the same thing, so I'm trying to convince myself that it's okay. We had gotten an at-home Doppler for reassurance because between appointments, but I hadn't been picking up the heartbeat on it, which is also making me nervous, so I'm trying to reassure myself maybe it's just because it's a cheap one. The doctor hadn't had any trouble finding it in the office. And another thing that was making me feel nervous was the fact that I wasn't really showing yet. I was getting close to the halfway point. I thought I should have more of a bump. So after about a week of this up and down roller coaster stressing, I decided to call the doctor with my concerns. The nurse listened to me and tried to reassure me, but added if I wanted to come in for a quick check and to hear the heartbeat for reassurance, they could get me in. So I decided to do that. My regular doctor was on vacation, so I'd be seen by the person filling in for him. I get in the room and she couldn't find the heartbeat on the Doppler, which made me a little uneasy, but she said, "You probably have an anterior placenta," so she took me back to get a scan. As soon as the image came up, I started crying. At all the other scans, you could see the heartbeat right away, and baby was so active in those other scans. But it was curled up with no movement. Baby measured 16 weeks. I was 17 weeks. The doctor filling in cried with me. I was completely torn and heartbroken. She said they could get me into the hospital that day if I wanted for delivery. So later that day, my husband and I went in and I was induced that night. I gave birth to my baby boy the next day. My placenta wasn't coming out and I was losing a lot of blood, so they did a DNC as well. They ran several blood tests and tested the placenta. They couldn't find anything. We didn't want them to test Miles, our baby, because they acted like we wouldn't have any time to hold him after and we wanted time with him. But everything they did came back normal. We still don't know what happened. We're planning on meeting with a specialist at the best of my doctor before we try again, Hoping to find some kind of answer, we would still really like to have another baby. Krista. Oh, Krista, thank you so much for sharing Miles with us. I hear often, and I'm sure on this podcast we've had multiple people who had children a little earlier in life, and there was maybe a gap, and then they get pregnant, and they experience a loss, and they realize that they want to have another baby. And it just is so unfair when that avenue is not going the way that you hope it goes, that you expect it goes, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. I hope that your appointment with a fertility specialist is soon, and I hope you get some sort of clarity or at least leave the appointment feeling confident in getting pregnant again. Thank you so much for sharing that. For our second story today, this is Michelle's experience with pregnancy loss. My name is Michelle and I'm 36 years old. I guess my journey started in early 2021. I went through a difficult breakup with someone who had kids of his own, who had been stringing me along about getting more serious and having kids of our own for about a year. I really took the breakup bad, and it coincided with my dad being diagnosed with tonsil cancer. I knew I didn't want to date again right away, but was really ready to become a parent. I've wanted to be a mom forever, and I always knew I would make it happen no matter what route I had to take. My best friends were always trying to get pregnant that summer, and I just felt in my heart it was time to start trying on my own. I spent a couple of months researching and getting my ducks in a row, telling my good friends and family my plans, getting initial testing done, which all looked good, and selecting a sperm donor. I had to get on thyroid medication, and that delayed things by a couple of months, which I felt was really frustrating. At the time, I really felt the need to be the first of my friends to get pregnant. I had a notion in my mind for some reason that I would be the ringleader of the new moms and be the one giving them advice. The amount of research I did was pretty crazy on everything from parenting to baby gear. I just felt so ready. On Labor Day weekend of 2021, I had my first IUI. It was unsuccessful, but I kept trying and got pregnant on IUI number 4 in November. I was incredibly nervous about miscarrying, more so than my other friends who by this time had gotten pregnant before me. I remember feeling upset they had beaten me, which is ridiculous, and I remember thinking the baby was a boy and feeling a bit sad about it. I always wanted a girl, and my friends were both having girls. But I was so excited and so happy. I had a great beta, a great first ultrasound, but when I went in for the ultrasound number 2 at 9 weeks, there was no heartbeat. I was just, it was just incredibly surreal and sad. I probably cried every day for 2 weeks. I was just so sad, so depressed. It was the worst time of my entire life. I remember feeling so sad that I ever felt ungrateful about the gender or timing. I ended up opting to take misoprostol, which didn't work for me, and then moving to a D&E. I felt determined to try again, ASAP. My period didn't return for 7 weeks, but the second I could try again, I did. I ended up doing 2 more IUIs, one resulting in a chemical pregnancy, before deciding to move on to IVF. I was just so done with the uncertainty and disappointment. I was so tired of having no fun trying to get pregnant, and I was just so sad that it wasn't working. By this point, my friends had both given birth. I had another best friend with a baby girl on the way. It was just heartbreaking for me. I had gotten a second job to help cover fertility expenses, and my entire life was revolving around trying to get pregnant and starting that next chapter. My first egg retrieval and then the subsequent transfer was successful. In August, I became pregnant with a baby girl, and I was just over the moon. The timing was perfect. I was thrilled to be thinking about maternity leave that would take place over the summer of 23, my favorite season, thrilled to have a girl, and so happy to be done with the trying stage. But I was just so nervous still, and sure enough, at my first ultrasound to check her heartbeat, there wasn't one. I had another missed miscarriage. This time there was a sac but nothing inside. I just felt crushed and felt almost void of feeling about it. I didn't cry much. I felt anger. I still feel anger. And as I prepare for another transfer, I'm trying to remain hopeful, but I truly wonder if this process will ever end. By this point, I've had the recurrent pregnancy loss panel. I appear healthy on every level. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with me, but will this next transfer work? I don't know. I hope so. I hope it's a boy. I know it's a boy, excuse me. I know it's a boy and feel so grateful for that. I know when it happens, it will be the right timing and the right baby, but right now, when I feel so frustrated with the process and angry about the time and money lost, it's hard to stay positive. I hope he sticks and makes me a mom. To anybody else out there trying hard to become a parent, I give you a big virtual hug. Here's to hoping we all get our rainbow baby soon. Oh my gosh, my heart. Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your story. And my heart hurts for everybody in this situation, but knowing that you've embarked on this on your own and you know, whenever I talk to those who are walking the path of a single mom by choice, we always discuss how when you do this on your own, you don't have that other partner walking this with you, and that makes it even more isolating. And so I'm happy to hear that your friends and your family are involved, at least where you can talk with them. But I know that you are not alone in thinking that it is disappointing to not be the first of your friends, or when a timeline doesn't work and the gender thing and then feeling bad about it. You are so not the only person feeling that way. And I hope you know how valid all of those feelings are. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thank you all for joining today and for listening to these stories. I do have some availability in December. I wanted to add that into this episode because I just shared that this was the last episode of 2022. So although I don't have any other episodes recorded for you, I do have appointments available for one-on-one calls. You can check out those appointments by the link in the show notes. I have labeled it that way you can easily see which one is to schedule a podcast interview, which one is to look at my one-on-one schedule. I just want you to know that you are not alone if you are struggling through this holiday season. I have a couple of different offerings ranging in pricing to hopefully provide that support in whatever way I possibly can. So please check out the show notes and reach out if you need anything at all. I hope that everybody listening has some peace over the holidays. I hope that you stick to your boundaries. I hope that you are not triggered by anything. That would be ideal. And again, please come back to this space if it is helpful. Reach out if you need help, and I will see you all in the new year.